Truckers, welcome to a brand spanking shiny ass happy rainbow sparkle sunshine happiness edition of the Hollywood Hick. This here is me, Brent Paris, the Hollywood Hick, coming at all y'all from Hollywood, California, sitting up here in the Florida room on a nice morning. It's supposed to get hot as fuck up here in Hollywood town though, but at least the evenings is cooling off. That's the only way I can handle the hot as fuck times up in here. I don't know why I feel like I have to give y'all a weather report at the beginning of these programs, but sometimes I just need you to know the pain I'm going through because it's hot as fuck out here sometimes. I don't know if you follow the global warming, but if you don't, you need to pull your head out your mother trucking ass because you got probs if you can't see that something is going on, because shit is ridiculous. But you're listening to me right here on the Crab Diving Network, www.crabdiving.com. Throw a / listen behind that. You know what's going to happen, mother truckers? You're going to get all the fabulous programming right as it's happening right here on the Crab Diving Network. You can hear the Hollywood Hick here every day on the 7s, meaning 7 in the morning, 7 in the evening, West Coast time out here in the United States of America. And then you can also catch me at midnight sometimes on here, too, if you can't catch things during the 7 o'clock hour. All right? Or if you can't do that, just go to the damn iTunes, the Crab Diving website, the SoundCloud somewhere, and just get the podcast and listen to it that way. Okay, if you're too damn lazy to tune in to the internet radio programming, then just download a Mother Trucking Podcast. All right, y'all? You can also follow Hick right here on the Twitter, at the H-Wood Hick, and you can also follow me on the Facebook at the facebook.com/ the Hollywood Hick. Okay. I think in them there's the particulars. What are we going? You know what? I was a little bit angry the last time I got around to doing one of these that I don't get to do often enough because of this place I go to every day, because they get in my way and then things just don't happen as I plan. But I was a little bit angry because we had just gone through that whole experience in Orlando where some fucking nightmare of a bitch ass bitch decided to take it upon himself to go shoot up 49 people and injure 50 some odd other ones with bullets sprayed into a crowd on a dance floor having a good time. But because that sends me into immediate blackout rage, I am going to avoid trying to hit those kind of subjects today. We are going to talk about some traditional Hollywood Hick type topics, okay? Because I am just about had it with the world at large at the moment. Shit is just nuts. People are nuts. I don't understand people and their freaking need to just do the craziest, be the nuttiest, just not right mother truckers in the history of the world. I don't. I can't see. I start to go into it and I can't not talk about it. I don't understand. I turn on the news. I don't even know why I bother to read it. I have no clue at all whatsoever why I bother to read the news. The real, like, I should only read the TMZ and like the New York Daily News, because if I read the regular news, I go into blackout rates. I'm like, I can't believe there is so much horribleness going on out there in the world when people just need to fucking get along, y'all. Why people just can't get along? I don't know. Why people got to be bullies going around fucking shit up and just being generally untoward at all fucking hours of the day? I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't think I'm supposed to. I don't think I ever will. So what are we going to do? We are going to go to have some discussions about some things that matter to the Hollywood Hick outside of the craziness of the world. We are going to go to the craziness of just peoples and celebrities and whatever else, because there's some crazy motherfuckers out there that crack my ass up. First and foremost, I still can't believe nobody pays this fool any attention at all whatsoever. I can't believe after what he has done did over the years that people still give any freaking any credence to this fool, and he has just not just floated away into the ether. But go figure, our good buddy Chris, I should change that to Fist Brown. So our buddy Fist Brown has some more legal woes, because apparently he has been going on some drug-fueled rages of late, and people is not having it. People are like, oh, hell to the no. I am not taking this shit from you no more. We're just gonna have to deal with your ass. But says over here on the TMZ, you know, that's where I like to get my news on account of it gives me the news that I care about. But it says here, Chris Brown, manager sues. Chris beat me to a pulp. So apparently, Chris Brown done went a little bit crazy. And according to this right here, it says here on the TMZ, Chris Brown has more legal woes. The guy he hired to rehabilitate his image. Good job here, Chris. Good work, Fist. Good work, Fist. You're nailing it right now. You're fucking killing it. Killing it, dude. But apparently, the guy he hired to rehabilitate his image after the Rihanna beating is now suing Chris for allegedly doing the same to him. So, like, that's the way. So, like, I would like you to rehabilitate my image after I beat this woman who is one of the biggest pop stars ever to a freaking pulp. And everybody hated me, and I finally started to bounce back. So, the way I'm going to reward you is to beat your fucking ass because I'm such a fucking... just rage machine. I don't get it. It's like, why do people pay attention? Like, somebody should just go fucking take this dude out to the woodshed and just give him a taste of his own medicine. I mean, and I'm not talking just punch him a little bit. I'm talking do to him exactly what he feels that he's entitled to do to anybody else at any minute, any day, because he just thinks that's what he's allowed to do. So if he got a serious taste of his own medicine where somebody beat the ever-living fuck out of him and then took a lot of pictures and put it all over the interwebs, I guarantee it would probably change his attitude a little bit, because then he'll be like, oh, fuck. Some people have done finally decided they ain't going to take my shit no more. Because I'm serious. I think somebody should beat the ever-living fuck out of them. And I'm usually not somebody who says just go beat people's ass. But sometimes I do say beat people's ass, because sometimes I just think people need to get their ass beat. Like the time I threatened that dude in the middle of Hollywood Boulevard, told him that if he took one more fucking step in my direction, I was going to fucking unleash on his ass. And the last thing he wants to do is have to go tell everybody a faggot just kicked his ass in the middle of Hollywood Boulevard. So you better think about this. And guess what he did? He thought about it, got in his car, and went on his merry motherfucking way. So sometimes if you just give people the option to know that this might go your way, but there's also a chance that it might not, and then you're going to have to tell everybody a faggot beat your ass. That's what it should be. It's like a whole bunch of faggots should beat his ass, because then he wouldn't want nobody to say that, because that is some straight up bullshit in the world he lives in, right? But this here story keeps on going, right? Says here, Mike G, who is his manager, well, I guess ex-manager at this point right here in time, right, y'all? So he was hired in 2012 not only to change Brown's image, but to get him out of debt and off drugs. Sounds like he might have got him out of debt, but the drug part is still kicking around up in there. Mike G says he did well by Chris, who had a resurgence in popularity, which he did. And I still can't believe it. Like, I don't understand. Like, people are just crazy. People are just crazy. That's the only way to put it. Like, you sit there, see what he done did, and like, I don't think that anybody who like beats a woman to that level should have any sort of like credence or respect or anything. Like, I just want to be like, okay, dude, you know what? You had your chance. You had the freaking world on a platter. You did not use that power in any kind of appropriate and or respectable way. And now, because you have done beat the biggest pop star in the world at the time to a bloody pulp where her face was all smoked up. I saw those pictures. It was on the TMZ. I don't understand how people can embrace that, especially a woman. I could see dudes because they're just fucking stupid. But women, I don't see how any woman who could come on the flip side and be like, ooh, I still want to tap that, because you're nuts. You're fucking nuts, and you got something wrong up in your brains, and you need to really reevaluate your life. I'm just saying is all. But apparently here it says things allegedly turned bad last month, but Mike G claims without provocation, Brown took him to a room, brutally attacked him with repeated punches to the face and neck, which landed him up in the ER, right? Well, goes on, says the lawsuit claims Brown, rather than being remorseful, began mocking Mike G on social media and bragging to friends about the beating. Because that's what it is. Like, see, that's the thing. His self-worth is around this, like, imagined gangster lifestyle, which apparently he, like, joined the gang as an adult, which I didn't think you did. I thought you had to, like, join it young. And it's like, and you, like, whatever. He, like, they just want, like, Chris Brown on their side, probably because he's got a lot of freaking money. And they're like, give us some money, Chris Brown. I don't know. But Mike G says Brown had the audacity to tell people working on his tour if they got out of line, he'd beat them like he beat Mike G. So, yeah. So, like, that's the – if I worked for somebody and that's when they came to me, I would be like, bye, Felicia. I'm out of here. I ain't going to – no. You're going to sit here and threaten me that, like, because if I don't freaking do every little thing you say and kiss your fucking ass 24/7, you're going to beat my ass. You know how I deal with that? Bye, Felicia, because you know what? I have choices, too. And my choice is to say fend for yourself, asshole, because at some point somebody's going to take a fucking 2x4 to your head like he's Marky Mark going after a fucking 12-pack. I'm just saying. So, he kept on going, says Mike G, says Brown's rage was drug-fueled, and the suit mentioned concern for rehabilitation from Brown's gang member friend. Wait a minute. Mike G says Brown's rage was drug-fueled, and the suit mentioned concern. What the, this doesn't make sense. The suit mentioned concern. Oh, the suit mentions. See that TMZ? There's a letter y'all missed on there that makes this sentence make sense. The suit mentioned concern. No, meant or mentioned. No, it should say mentions. I think it's a S. Whatever. I would at least have it like a something on there to make it seem like it makes more sense than this. The suit mentions concern for rehabilitation. Or no, I'm not even reading this right because I got so upset by the typo here on the, like, don't people proofread these goddamn, like, TMZ, can't you pay for a goddamn proofreader to go through here and say, like, oops, you know, oops, you got a little thing here, like, oops, let's fix this? No, none of you people do it. Like, all my beloved websites, that's one of my biggest freaking beefs with you people. Have somebody come behind and read this shit and fix all your damn typos. Like, the KTLA website, that's a TV station, Channel 5 out here in Los Angeles. Let me tell you, if you want to feel better about yourself and your writing skills, go read some of the freaking little news blurbs that they post on the KTLA website. They are written by freaking kids in the third fucking grade. I'm not kidding. They are so riddled with mistakes and just poor grammar and poor anything. Like, just try. That's all I'm asking people. Just try. This is going out to the world. So how about you just, like, give a modicum of effort? How about we try that? Okay, back to the story. Let me see if I can read this sentence because, like, I hit words like that and then it just throws me off on account of, I'm like, I can't believe it. Like, my brain just goes immediately. I can't believe they don't fucking catch this shit. But says here, Mike G says Brown's rage was drug fueled and the suit mentions concern for retaliation from Brown's gang member friends. And that's in quotes, gang member friends, in quotes, right? Mike G's attorney, Patty Glasser, tells TMZ, we did everything we could to resolve this in a non-public way to avoid damage to Chris Brown. Look, Chris Brown done enough damage, Patty girl, okay? Chris Brown is doing plenty of damage on his own. That is what he's up to. So I don't see why you would feel bad about going to it. I would just be like singing from the rooftops. Chris Brown beat my ass and now I want the money. That's what I would be saying. I'd be like, bitch, you better pony the fuck up or I am taking your bitch ass down. Because, I mean, this is just the beginning. Like, this is only the first of a couple of few stories we are going to go through here on the Hollywood Hick program here on the Crab Diving Network to illustrate what a complete and utter just douche nozzle dick pain in the ass waste of space this fucking Chris Brown bitch ass is. I'm just saying. Regrettably, though, it says, as outlined in our complaint, Chris Brown has proven to be his own worst enemy. Then there's an update here. It came at 11 a.m. This was posted at about, 9:40 in the a.m. the other day. And then about 11 a.m., Chris just responded to the lawsuit on the Instagram because that's what you do. Because that's what fine, upstanding, respectable citizens do. It's when they're being sued for beating the fuck out of somebody for no reason at all whatsoever in a fucking gang type situation where you fucking corner somebody and then come at them with a fucking bitch ass, fucking pussy ass approach, right? Well, it says here, Chris responded to the lawsuit in an Instagram video because that's what people do today, which is ridiculous, people. Stop that shit. He claims he fired Mike G for stealing money from him, which I'd be highly suspect of, and says Mike G's lawyer says that's not true and they will be adding a defamation claim to the law. So there you go, dumbass. So then you go on the Instagrams where everybody can see it. They can record it. The internet is forever, you dumbass. You dumb fucking dumbass. So it's forever. So now they got you a recording of you defaming this dude at the same time. So now you're going to get sued for beating his ass for no reason at all whatsoever just because you're a dick. And then now you're going to get sued for defaming him because you then want to go on the flip side and try to call him some sort of thief when you know he ain't. Because I believe Chris G. Chris bitch ass. That's what his name should be. Just bitch ass. I really, like, somebody should just freaking Marky Mark his ass with a 2x4 like he's got a 12 pack. I'm just saying. And I know I don't want to appropriate that freaking, but you know what I'm saying. Fuck you people. Fuck this shit. Well, this story ain't over here. Because Chris Brown's manager comes on, he says here on the next story that came up, says Chris Brown's manager, I didn't steal, and oops, you forgot to fire me. So apparently, this story is not ending there. It says right here on the TMZ website, Chris Brown's manager made good on his threat to add defamation to his lawsuit against Brown and says there's no way he could have stolen the singer's cheddar. See? Hours after Brown posted two videos saying Mike G had had been fired for stealing his money, the now estranged manager filed new legal docs. In the new lawsuit, he says he's never had access to Chris's money because another business manager is solely responsible for finances. Okay, so I'm not responsible for your money, you dumbass. You're not even smart enough to know who does what and who to freaking call out for what. You're just freaking loudmouth, diarrhea of the mouth. Just keep on going with your craziness. You're fucking crazy. And to be quite honest, you're not nearly as cute as you want to think you are. Like, you are not ugly, but you are not really that cute at all. You kind of got a weird mouth. So the really what it boils down to is you're not cute enough to fucking have this attitude. Just saying is all. But even though in the videos, Chris says he's canned Mike over the cash, we're told Mike claims he never got a termination notice until after he filed the lawsuit. TMZ here broke the story. Mike G's also suing for assault, battery, false imprisonment, and breach of contract after what he says was a bloody beatdown by Chris, right? Mike's lawyer, Patty Glasser, released a statement. Sadly, really, like, this is just like Chris Brown, you are just a freaking becoming a caricature. It's ridiculous. Like, people need to just fucking drop kick you into traffic. But she says here, sadly, Chris Brown is once again lashing out against those who were closet. See, I can't even read. He is hitting out at those who were closest to him and is refusing to accept responsibility for his actions, making up false claims against Mike G to deflect attention away from his continued violent behavior is shameful. We are looking forward to our day in court when Chris Brown will be held accountable. Like, really, I really hope they fucking stick it straight up to his, like, I hope he takes like a fiery hot poker up of the ass in that freaking courtroom. But then it ain't over there, because it is like when it rains, it pours for the Chris Brown, for Fist Brown. I don't know why I keep using his real name. His name is Fist Brown. Just fucking anger issues. It's like, work through it, dude. Just quit being so fucking angry all the time. Take a freaking Xanax or something. Quit with the whatever drugs you're doing are not helping, dude. They're just making you worse. So how about maybe take a Xanax or something, because those fuckers make you just not care. And I think really you just need to quit caring, because you are fucking buying your own hype and it's apparently affecting your decisions. I'm just saying. But goes on, Chris Brown, there's another article here on the TMZ, threatening and high on drugs, claims ex-tour manager. Yep, so now people are chiming in. They're like, you know, this is why I broke the fuck up with his ass. That's what they did. They're like, you want to know why I broke the fuck up with the Chris Brown, Fist Brown, bitch-ass, crazy person? Because he's crazy. That's why. But says here, Chris Brown allegedly cornered a female tour manager and went on a threatening drug-fueled tirade so intense she jumped off the tour bus and quit on the spot. Good for you, girl. Bye, Felicia, his ass. Just bye, Felicia. I ain't gonna play this game. Ain't nobody got time for that. No. Goes on. Sources connected to Chris's tour tell us the incident went down May 23rd during Chris's European tour. Nancy Ghosh, I think it's Ghosh, G-H-O-S-H. Is that Ghosh or Hosh? I don't know. We'll go with Ghosh. I don't know. Unpronounceable last name. Who's worked with the likes of J-Lo, Kanye West, and Justin Bieber. Okay, J-Lo, I would listen to out of those. But oh, actually, even Bieber comes up with some catchy songs every once in a while. But I broke the fuck up with his ass because he's just a fucking little spoiled little bitch I can't deal with. But we're talking about a different spoiled little bitch right now. So let's just continue our narrative, right? But apparently, she claims Brown cursed her out in a dispute over her employment terms. The day after the incident, she fired off an email to Brown's team in which she explained she felt unsafe because Chris had been irrational and high on drugs. Ghosh also claimed Brown referenced what he did to Mike G and threatened to do the same to her. So see, so then he ends going around like them, be like, what I did to Mike G, I'm going to do to you. Like, dude, that is not something you really should go around bragging about. Because one, now you have double incriminated yourself because you didn't just do it and keep your mouth shut. You're such a fucking dumbass. You feel the need to go around and brag about it. So now you got people who say, like, yeah, he told me he beat the fuck out of him. Yep, he sure did. He told me that too. Yep, he told me. Oh, guess what? In the middle of his drug-fueled tirade, he also told me that he beat the fuck out of Mike G. So there's that. And apparently he said threatened to do the same. Chris's ex-manager Mike G sued him for the beatdown. We already know that part. Ghost said she refused to stay on the bus after the argument out of fear for her safety. We're told a production manager on the tour also complained through his lawyer, claiming Brown has been verbally abusive and threatening. Because you know what? Because he's a fucking spoiled little bitch-ass bitch who somebody needs to put a serious beatdown on. That's the only thing that's going to bring him in line. I'm serious. I usually don't condone violence, but I would condone violence against Chris Brown. I think some of these people that he has pulled this shit on should just all line up and just each take a turn whacking him in the jaw. Just whack, whack, whack. taste of your own medicine, fool. But apparently, the people have reached out to Chris's camp and ain't nobody talking back because they can't. There's nothing to talk back about. People are just fucking nuts. Then, if that ain't bad enough, like I'm telling you, this shit just keeps on going. This story just keeps on giving. This is the story that keeps on giving. I'm telling you, because who else do I love talking about? Because he's nuts and he's like, can't understand why people might be thinking that he has done some murderating and some things over the years and that he's still sitting in that jail cell on account of like he probably deserves to be in that jail cell because he hasn't really been the best of humans along the way. From that jail cell, our buddy Suge Knight, the one who passes out in court, gets wheeled in on a wheelchair and shit like that, just causing all kind of troubles, but got shot up at a Chris Brown show. That's what he's suing for now. So it says here on the TMZ, Suge Knight sues Chris Brown. It's your fault I got shot. So now everybody's jumping on the fuck Chris Brown bandwagon, even Suge Knight from the freaking Hooskow, right? Says right here, Suge Knight thinks Chris Brown's crappy security is the reason he got shot 7 times. So now he's suing Brown. According to the docs, Knight says Brown and One Oak Nightclub should have had better security in August 2014 when Suge was shot multiple times inside the club. I think he was hit like 6 times, if I remember right, which I guess is like if you're a big giant dude who's got a lot, like, I mean, he's a fat guy. I mean, just admit it. Like, he's a fat guy. That is, I guess, a situation where being a fat guy comes in handy because you got all that fat. So the bullets don't get to the like important parts. And then you end up being able to walk away from getting shot 6 motherfucking times. But says here, Suge was shot multiple times inside the club. He was hit in the abdomen, the chest, and the left forearm. If I remember right, it was 6 different times, right? Suge, who's currently in jail waiting trial for murder, see that? These are such fine, upstanding citizens we're talking about here, calls out Brown in the suit for being a known gang associate with a history of hosting events where violent incidents happen. He's also suing seer Pia Mia, who was co-hosting the party. I don't even know who the fuck Pia Mia is, but I kind of like that name. I like a little like rhyming kind of alliteration shit going on. Pia Mia, that's fun to say. All right, whatever. Knight claims since the shooting, he's had major health complications, including a blood clot. Yeah, he's been up in the jailhouse, and apparently he hadn't been getting all the care that he wishes he got. So now you're also getting sued by Chris Brown. You're getting sued by your ex-manager. You're getting sued by Suge Knight, of all people. And now it seems like after all this shit, there is even one more layer to this freaking nonsense, right? But Fist Brown says right here on the TMZ, Fist Brown, publicist says, you call me bitch, I quit. So there he goes. He just keeps on going. He's just burning every motherfucking bridge he can get his hands on. I'm just saying, like, he is on a freaking bridge burning tour right now, like just a freaking row. But it says here, Fist Brown went ballistic on a publicist, referring to her as a do-nothing bitch, and the publicist fired back that she spent all her time cleaning up his shit. Like, I'm like this chick. I'm going to tell you right now, I think I like this chick. Her name is Nicole Perna, and says right here, Chris had an angry exchange with PR guru Nicole Perna over magazine covers he wanted for his clothing line. The conversation started with Perna texting him, love, with a whole bunch of O's to try to make him seem like she means it. All the black pyramid pieces, awesome collection. I smell somebody lying through their fucking teeth just because it's her client and she just wants him to feel good about the shitty clothes that he's trying to put out there that don't nobody want to put on their magazine cover on account of they look like hell hit at 150. That's just the interpretation that I get from this whole little thing right here. Right. But says a frustrated Brown did not receive the compliment well, saying, I don't want you texting me compliments with no results. So because she was just trying to be nice. And then his reaction is a drug fueled fucking rage moment. He went on to accuse Perna of doing nothing to secure Vogue, GQ, or any other publications, telling her, get in the game. Maybe this is what it boils down to, Fist. Maybe Vogue and or GQ is like, I don't want your fucking ugly ass black pyramid shit that your publicist has to lie to you about to make you think you're special. No, we don't want this. Fuck you. Bye, Felicia. Not on my magazine cover. Mother trucking. Okay. Didn't stop there. Says, and then the fireworks started. Perna lashed out. Anna Wintour doesn't want to fuck with you, which is, I'm sure, 100% the truth. These editors don't want to fuck with you. I love she like, she's like, fuck you. I have been doing this a long time. I don't need your fucking angry ass, right? She goes, the majority of my time is spent on damage control. I am constantly cleaning shit up and having your back. Then Brown fires back because he's so rational and like whatever. He goes, Nicole, all caps, of course, you texted me as if I will give a fuck if you don't work for me or not. Do whatever makes you feel better. Me personally, I don't give a fuck. See, now here's the problem. You do give a fuck. You give too many fucks, and that's the real problem. You can't let nothing go. Everything is a personal slight against you for some reason. Like, you think you're so friggin' self-important that everybody else should be on board. And guess what? You are getting a dose of a bitch who has had it. She don't need you, she don't want you, and she can fucking do without your ass, and she don't got a problem telling you that. Then this story goes, says Mike G, Chris's manager, who just sued the text singer, we've already been through that, was included in the string of texts. Chris then texted, Mike, this bitch got all the balls in the world talking to me, but can't talk to the editors or anyone for that matter when they release bullshit in the press. Send this bitch her termination. Like, okay, so really, like, what do you want her to say? So you go out, you go on a drug-fueled rampage of freaking terror, and you think that this chick is supposed to spin it into, like, you're just tromping through a fucking field of flowers with sunshine and rainbows all around you with Dolly Parton sparkles falling from the sky. That shit just ain't what you're fucking sowing. You reap what you sow, dumb fuck. You getst it? I hope so. You need to pull your head out of your ass because the rest of us see it. But apparently you can't look in the mirror and see the fucking bitch ass staring back at you. Apparently then Perna texted Chris, Chris, respect. You're in my prayers. X. I love him. She's like, bye, Felicia. She just completely bye Felicia'd his ass. And then he shots back, bitch, you in my nightmares. Perna sent her resignation letter to Chris. So there you go. So, like, do you have anybody else to fucking get your back? Like, I'm just curious to see where this goes. Because now, from what I read, he ain't got much of nobody to get his back. And so then this is when he goes completely off the rails. I've been waiting on a celebrity to go fucking super cuckoo bananas nuts. I thought Justin Bieber might do it, but he is like not doing it. He's just being a fucking punk ass bitch, and he's not even fun to watch anymore. Like, I thought he was gonna go like crazy and be fun to watch. Like, I was thinking this Demi Lovato chick was gonna go crazy and be fun to watch, but I just get annoyed with her. I just can't get on board, because that one, like, there was a thing where she quit Twitter's and then she went right back to Twitter's the next day, because she's one of those girls who wants all the attention, but then when it's not quite the attention that she wants, she gets all butt hurt about it and then tries to get all like sanctimonious and like up on some high horse, and then you realize that, like, no, she's just like kind of like this really self-absorbed chick who's not quite as pretty as she hoped that she would be, but she's quite talented, but she can't like allow to like herself to believe that she's talented because I, for a whole lot of fucking reasons I can't figure out. It's just like the girl just needs to fucking quit, but she's like that little fucking pain in the ass bitch who's always upset because somebody's doing something to her because she doesn't realize that maybe she needs to quit fucking poking the bear that comes back and saying shit to her. And if you can't handle the fucking Twitters, get off the fucking Twitters, people, okay? All these people who go like, I can't believe all of the backlash that I get on the Twitter, then you know what? That's what Twitters does. So if you're going to put yourself on the Twitters, then you have to have a thick enough skin to be able to laugh off the people who come back with their crazy asinine nonsense. That's just what has to happen. Like, if you're going to twit, then you got to be ready for the fucking Twitters who are not very friendly. But whatever, I can't talk about this chick because she's like, the thing is, I like some of her music because I am a sucker for a cheesy pop song. I like them. I like them a lot. I just don't like the people who think that they are the ones who shit don't stink and they're the only ones who are allowed to say what they want. Nobody can come back and say anything that they want. It's a two-way street and people need to understand that. All right, moving on, because this bitch gets on my last nerve. My last mother trucking nerve. Here, let's see if anything else good has come out of Chris Brown in the last little bit before we run on to a different topic. We're going to Chris Brown into a Google search and see what it pulls up, see if he's done anything new. But after his publisher said bye Felicia to his dumb ass, this is taking way too long to fucking find anything on the interwebs. This computer of mine is just about his at it. Like, honestly, that's one of the reasons I have been sporadic in my postings of Hollywood Hicks lately, because sometimes I sit down here and this bitch just says no. Just this computer says no. Have you ever seen that program, The Little Britain, over there from with those, like, what, Matt something and other guy? I can't remember their names. Whatever. But they have that one skit where the woman is, like, at their thing. She's like, computer says no. My computer is always saying fucking no. Fucking bitch-ass computer. My computer might as well be Chris Brown. I'm not kidding. That's how cooperative this thing is sometimes. I'm just saying is all. All right. Let's go on to talk about something else going on. Like, I would talk about freaking Taylor Swift leaving that Calvin Harris fella, who's actually kind of cute. I would like totally tap that. I don't know if I'd want to tap it for many times, but I would tap it once or twice and then be like, okay, I've had enough of you. But then she goes running off with this Tom Hiddleston dude, and I just ain't buying it. It's purely for publicity. It is just like whatever. And if you are bouncing from pecker to pecker, like people want to say, like, just let the bitch like just do whatever. But this is the thing. You can't have that sort of like, I want to be good girl thing while you're jumping from pecker to pecker. Like, I like your Tay Tay. I like a lot of your songs. You make good pop music. I won't exactly call what you used to do country. Your first album had a couple of country songs on there, but you really weren't that country. You were country pop, and that's fine. Shania Twain did it. You did it. It's like, it's all good. But girl, give the pussy a rest every once in a while. You don't just gotta jump right to the next dude. But I know it's all for publicity. So she's probably still a virgin. That's why these guys get so damn frustrated. But and hopefully somebody soon, if she is, will just come and tear that shit up and make this girl just like want to like stay with one dude for very long. Because I'm starting to think that she might be the problem. I'm just saying this out. Like, it's like, it can't be every dude you've hooked up with be the problem. I'm just saying that there's got to be issues up in there where you are at least somewhat culpable in the demise of so many freaking relationships. I'm just saying is all. All right, what else is going on out here in the world? Oh, did y'all see about this fella? Like, this talk about, let's talk about this first. Let's talk about this first. Cause coming out this here Friday, I want to believe, is this new Tarzan movie, right? Well, at the place I go to every day, I have had the fortunate opportunity, I guess you would say. I don't know. I've had to look at this Tarzan trailer a lot, right? Okay. So I've had issues with it the entire time I've seen it because I kind of like the Tarzan story. I like Tarzan movies. I like stuff like that. I like senseless action flicks. What I don't like is the fact that this Tarzan is wearing pants. I don't understand. I ain't never seen a Tarzan wearing pants. This fucking PC world we live in, we're trying to tell me that Tarzan should not be in some little itsy bitsy skimpy little loincloth swinging through the trees where I can see butt cheek whenever he cuts around a corner. You're fucking cheating me of the true Tarzan that we all want to see. Nobody wants to see Tarzan in pants. And if this movie flops, I'm going to say it is entirely because there's going to be two reasons. I'll tell you the second one in a minute. But because of these damn pants. Now, over here on the People magazine, they apparently talked to this Alexander Skarsgård fella about this, and it's the headline here reads, "Losing the loincloth, Alexander Skarsgård dishes on the important change to his skimpy Tarzan getup." It's not an important change. It is a stupid change. It is a, why are you changing shit for the worse? I'm just saying this though. Even in the mother trucking 60s, back on TV all the time, Tarzan was in a loincloth. It was one of my few joys as a closeted homo child when I would watch Tarzan and be like, oh my God, I would totally tap Tarzan. I'm just saying. And you would get a little butt cheek or a little butt crease every once in a while. It's all good. But no, not now. He's wearing fucking knickers, freaking culottes. They're pants. They go below the knee like they're like half calf. Yeah, they're kind of cute pants and they're well-fitted. I'll say that. But at the same time, this is not what Tarzan looks like. Nobody wants Tarzan wearing pants, you fools. But everybody's got to be so damn politically correct these days because they thought maybe a freaking one too many butt cheeks was going to give him an R rating or something. I don't know. But it says here on the People magazine, Alexander Skarsgård is plenty shirtless in The Legend of Tarzan, which he does look good with no shirt on. I will give him that. But he admits that fans expecting to see a traditionally loincloth-clad Lord of the... God, that is hard to say. But admits that fans expecting to see a traditionally loincloth-clad Lord of the Jungle, including co-star Samuel L. Jackson's daughter. See, Sam, your daughter at least knows what's up. May be disappointed unless they keep an extra sharp eye out. Like, there's probably one little clip where, like, you can see him back in the back of something where he's got on his, like, loincloth underpants before he puts on his, like, culottes, right? It says here, it's not for lack of enthusiasm. Apparently, he said, I was trying to get a little sexy loincloth to wear. At least you tried. Or at least you're trying to tell us you tried. I'm not even sure I believe you. I'm not even sure. I think you might be making this up on the flip side, Alexander. Skarsgård revealed during a press conference promoting the film, I was trying to convince director David Yates for weeks when we were doing prep. But Yates, who directed the final four Harry Potter films, had already conceived of a story, People Mazagine, all y'all, freaking proofread your shit. who directed the final four Harry Potter films, had already conceived of story. No, it's of a story. Don't you got fucking proofreaders over at People Magazine? Jeebus. Centering on a more civilized and refined Tarzan. We don't want civilized and or refined Tarzans, people. That's this movie is going to suck. I'm just saying. I don't know how. Like, this movie is going to need some freaking almost naked Alexander Skarsgård to make people want to see it. I'm telling you. I get the feeling this one ain't going to do too well. I might be wrong. I'm sometimes wrong. But I get the feeling people are going to be like, pants for straight up reels. But apparently, it's a more civilized and refined Tarzan, one who'd spent the last several years living in it's a British lord. Apparently, according to the director, it says the script is written. It opens in London. He's Victorian, and he's acclimated to life in London. And then he goes back to the jungle. Explained the actor. He said the director dude was like, it doesn't make sense. That little loincloth's got to go. No, you're a pussy. You know Tarzan is a loincloth. That's just how it works. When he goes back to the jungle, it's hot. It's humid. It's sweaty. He don't want all them pants holding in all of that, getting all wet and gross all the time. If he has a little loincloth on, the water rolls right off, dries up real quick. He can move on with his day. Now you got him in these stupid pair of freaking culottes looking like a fool running through the jungle in pants of all things. Like, nobody wants to see this. Nobody wants to see Tarzan in pants. I'm just saying is all. Apparently it goes on that. Thus, while Skarsgård 39 did get to ditch his shirt, he spends most of the action swinging from the vines in tight khaki pants, which is a point of contention for Jackson's daughter Zoe when she screened the film. See, Zoe, I'm with you, girl. I am straight up with you, girl. Apparently, according to Samuel Jackson, he said his daughter was like, what the hell's up? Where's the loincloth? He said, my daughter was very disappointed in that. As well, she should be. We are all disappointed in that. This is not what Tarzan does or looks like. But blah, blah, blah. Then they go on to talk about how Jackson worked with Tarzan's daddy in the Deep Blue Sea movie, a really shitty shark movie from back in like 1999. But it says right here, which is the loincloth, like, are y'all hearing this, motherfuckers? The loincloth has been a fixture in the multiple film and TV appearances by Tarzan since 1918. Even in 1918, they weren't such fucking prudes that they thought they needed to put Tarzan in a pair of motherfucking pants. Are you understanding this? No. Not even in 1918 did they think it was necessary to put him in culottes, okay? Apparently, goes on, says, the Jungle King has been played by a long line of actors, including Johnny Weissmuller, Lex Barker, Ron Elliott. I remember probably seeing these dudes, but I wouldn't know them if they came up and bit me in the ass. Most of them probably dead anyway. Christopher Lambert and Casper Van Dien. To appease diehard fans, we did do a loincloth scene at the end. Oh, great. Thanks. That's what you do. Like, so you get a little bit of what it should have been the whole time right at the very end. Good work, dumbass. And the adornment was updated, said Skarsgård, with a fashionable twist. He swings through the trees. It's not a loincloth. It's more like a mini sarong. Well, then that's not a loincloth. It's freaking too long. Bullshit. B-U-L-L shit. I ain't watching this damn Tarzan movie till it comes on Netflix. I ain't paying no money unless I get a freaking loincloth. That's just what I'm talking about. Oh, this thing goes on. They're talking a lot about this. Oh, then they talk about he ate a lot. He did a lot of working out to play Tarzan. You better. If you don't freaking look like Tarzan, at least from the waist up, then you really fucking it up. But yeah, so that's it. So let me tell you my other issue with this Tarzan movie. Now, if you watch these trailers that come out, go on to YouTubes, look at the Tarzan trailer, y'all. I'm just saying, one of the main ones, one of the longer ones, whatever. There is a scene in it where he is running across the jungle like a wet, mucky, gross jungle floor, right? In his freaking culotte, freaking knicker pants, whatever you want to call them, runs to the edge of a cliff, right? And when he dives off of that cliff after running through the nasty, gross jungle floor barefoot, when he dives off that cliff, you get this shot of him diving off. It looks really cool. He's like swan diving off a big old giant cliff, right? The most pristine feet bottoms you have ever seen in your whole entire life after this fool has just run through the muck of the jungle. Like, it's like a wet, gross, swampy spot he just runs through. And still, like, pristine, perfect feet. Like, his feet are immune to jungle dirt or grime or whatever. That is actually, to me, that drives me even more nuts than the pants. I'm like, how can you not have jungle feet if you've been running through the jungle barefoot? That's just not possible. You're at least gonna have a little bit of dirt on your feet bottoms. They cannot be these super pretty pristine feet bottoms. I can suspend my disbelief only so far to accommodate this kind of nonsense. I'm just saying is all. So Will the Hollywood hick be seeing Tarzan? Probably not, on account of those culottes are going to drive me crazy the whole time, and things like that drive me nuts, and then I can't not talk about it, and then people around me will be like, why can't you shut the fuck up about these damn culottes? It's just how it works. All right, let's go on to something else. Ooh, let's try to find some people that make us feel better about ourselves. We got some time left on here. I really, celebrities are on my nerves right now. Nobody's doing anything just quite crazy enough for me to freaking just want to, like, jump on the bandwagon and follow this crazy train to the freaking, to the junction or wherever the hell it's going. This dude, I don't know if y'all saw this dude, but he was on the internets, like, they had him on here because there's this dude, like, this complete freaking douchebag meathead fucked up motherfucker at a Trump rally in Phoenix, Arizona, where the heat probably doesn't help the situation, I'm sure, because when it gets hot as fuck here in Hollywood town, people go crazy, right? Well, I'm assuming that if you live in Arizona and when it gets butt-ass hot out there, that people might not be able to deal with it well, and the crazy comes exploding out of them. That's just what I think might be happening in these situations, right? Well, says over here on the Smoking Gun website, I love me some Smoking Gun because it makes me feel better about myself because these people are here. But they're saying, meet Zachary Fisher, the raging breakout star of Donald Trump's recent rally in Phoenix. So this dude with his big old giant meathead, had one too many steroid, done fucked his brain up, is over there trying to go support at some rally for that freaking giant pumpkin head with a dead mangy fox on top of his fart puss. Still can't figure out why people are listening to a word that comes out of my mouth, because he makes no sense. If he was making any kind of sense, even if it was shit I didn't agree with, I would have a little bit more respect. But he doesn't even make sense. He doesn't even make complete sentences. He doesn't even form a complete thought and or idea. And these jump fools are just jumping on the bad bandwagon. It just don't make no sense to me. I don't get it. But this fool, this fellow, what's his name here? I just read it. Damn. Zachary Fisher, meathead motherfucker. I highly recommend going to look this up on the YouTubes. Go over to the Smoking Gun. I think they got a link to it in here somewheres, right? They got to. But because it ain't loading up good, it's probably an autoplay shit, which would send me into blackout rage. But this dude, there's a whole bunch of Latino people that are there, like sort of like on the sidelines, sort of protesting the Trump thing because they should, because he said to like build a wall and send them all back and call them criminals, right? Well, and then this kind of guy can't figure out why they might have issue with that. I don't know. It's just mind boggling to me, right? Well, apparently his way of responding to this was to go into a drug-fueled, like he was a freaking WWE wrestler, right? Rachel! You know what I'm talking about, how these fuckers. But so he starts screaming shit at these people. He's like, go fucking cook my burrito, bitch! Because that's an appropriate thing to yell at somebody. That's not racist and or horrible, right? But apparently last Saturday, an aggrieved Donald Trump supporter, this stupid ass bitch ass Zachary Fisher, right? This according to the Smoking Gun, delivered that line right there. Go fucking cook my burrito, bitch, because that's appropriate. Which seemed to have originally been written for Jesse Pinkman. I think that's some freaking Breaking Bad reference. I tried to watch that program. I got two episodes in before I just couldn't. I couldn't get into it. I know everybody else loves it. I just couldn't. Sorry, Charlie. But apparently there was some other rhetorical gems, which he did because I watched the thing, while screaming at individuals gathered on a Phoenix street corner to protest the multi. See, the thing is, I don't even know how much of a multimillionaire Donald Trump is, because according to Elizabeth Warren, the reason he ain't releasing his tax returns is because then we'll find out that he ain't really quite as rich as he thinks he is. But we'll see how that plays out. Says here, in a video shot by journalist Eric Rosenwald, the Trump backer is seen telling protesters, okay, this is the kind of shit that came out of this motherfucker's mouth and that he's proud of. This is the other thing, this is the thing that kills me, is then he's also proud of this behavior. Like, I say shit sometimes, because I will freely admit that sometimes my mouth just flies off the handle before I realize that it's like flying, and then by the middle of it I figure, well, I gotta own this to the end, we'll apologize on the flip side. But sometimes this shit just comes out, but at least I'll be like, dude, I shouldn't have said that. But apparently this dude didn't do that. Some of the many things he hollered, but some of the gems that were stuck up in there, one of which was, I fucked your whole family. No, excuse me. Back up. I missed a good important word. I fucked your whole fucking family with my big cock. Now, I am of the impression that most people who need to tell me how big their cock is when I'm not trying to suck it usually don't have much of a cock at all. They usually are overcompensating for the fact that they've steroided their ass up in such a way that their pecker is fucking fleeing to his insides, and he's probably just got a little acorn knot there, and that's all that's there, and he's just trying to like deflect and let everybody know how big his cock is, when in true reality he's just got a little acorn nub floating on up in there because he's done steroided it into a fucking brink of extinction. I'm just saying is all. He then apparently, after saying that, moved on to domestic policy matters, announcing that he was a proud fucking American made in USA bitch. So apparently, like, yeah, the video's up there, but it ain't loading, which is probably a good thing, because if this autoplay shit kicks on in the middle of me talking, you know how I love that. Not. But apparently goes on, after referring to the preparation of his burrito, the muscled rage machine then demanded that Trump's detractors go fucking make my tortilla, motherfuckers, and build that fucking wall for me. Trump! I love Trump! That's pretty much how he was yelling it at the end. Like, it's fucking nuts. Like, it is like watching WWE, but somebody who doesn't realize it is fake and has embraced it as like a culture, a lifestyle, or just way of being. It kills me. But before taking his leave, the man, he also said, this is another one of his better gems, he goes, I'll fuck like at least 10 of you up in one fucking sitting, you fucking pussy. You're lucky all these cops are here. Like, no, honestly, dude, you're probably lucky all those cops are there, because you think you might take one or two, but if you get a whole bunch of fucking people full of freaking, you just fucking raged on them for just because they're over there saying that they don't exactly agree with you, and you think that you should like somehow better because you like are freaking roided up and white. I don't fucking get it, right? But then did he go on to say more? Because so basically then they go and say, who is this street corner surrogate, a guy who deserves the kind of cable TV time now being hogged by low energy Trump supporters like Andy Dean? I don't even know who these people are, but meet Zachary Fisher. So let's find out who this fucker really is, right? Says here, the 31-year-old Fisher lives in Mesa, Arizona, which is about 20 miles outside of Phoenix, and works as a lab technician for Feeks, Brace and Limb, a firm owned by his stepfather. The company which fabricates prosthetics and orthotics also employs Fisher's mother and brother, and apparently they have scrubbed him from the website because they're like, oh, fuck, here comes this loudmouth roid motherfucking stepchild of mine. I got to own him, but I don't want to. Apparently, though, when he's not loudly lecturing others about tortillas, burritos, and the size of his pecker, Fisher enjoys working out at L.A. Fitness. See, and L.A. Fitness is douchebag central, BT dubs. I'm just saying it's all, right? Hiking and spending time with his pit bull. Of course this motherfucker owns a pit bull. Freaking... that explains it all right there. He owns a red Ford Mustang. Oh, SVT cover. Like, it has to be the, what the fuck? KEPH8N. That's his license plate on his foot. See, I have a Mustang too. Now I really feel bad and like don't want to, whatever. Like, why do these fucking rage motherfuckers? But mine is just a regular old Mustang. I didn't need to get all of this souped up Cobra bullshit, because you want to know what? I live in Los Angeles. You can't drive fast because there's too many fucking people in your way. So why spend the money on all of that shit when you can't even use it? But maybe you can use it way out there in the desert where ain't nobody at, which is probably the best place for this motherfucker, right? I don't know. Caffeinate? Is that what it is? KEPH8N. I don't know what he's trying to get out of that. He's got an assortment of weapons, of course, because that just is like rage-fueled motherfuckers are the ones that I want to have weapons all up in their hands. If y'all ain't feeling better about yourself right now, y'all, something is straight up wrong with y'all. But apparently Fisher has also fought in MMA matches, but it appears his career in the cage was derailed by injury. In a pair of recent Instagram videos, Fisher is seen firing his AR-15 rifle, because, you know, like, people like this are the ones that need these fucking assault rifles, because that's just proven to be a really, really good way of going about things. He's shooting it into some brush and aiming at targets with his Glock handgun. He is also proud of his grueling workout regimen and the numerous tattoos adorning his chiseled physique, along with tribal ink decorations, because, like, your honky ass understands what all these tribal decorations are, you just fucking dumbass. Fisher has a representation of the Arizona state flag on his back and the words, never trust a bitch, on his side. Okay, there you go. This is exactly who you're dealing with, people. A dude who had felt the necessary to proclaim to the world by by tattooing it on his side forever. Never trust a bitch. While it's not visible until he lifts his arm, Fisher also has the number 43 tattooed beneath his left armpit. And according to the Anti-Defamation League, the number is used by members of the racist skinhead group Supreme White Alliance. So there you go. Shining example of like American and everything we have to offer here. It's this dude is just a glowing example of everything wrong. Just fucking wrong. These people just wrong, 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 wrong. Acquaintance of Fisher contends the 43 tattoo is a tribute to a longtime friend who died last year at age 35. Smith was serving an 8-year prison sentence for narcotics trafficking at the time of his September 2015 death. The number reportedly was assigned to Schmidt, a fellow MMA devotee at the gym where he trained with Fisher. And you know what I call on that? Bullshit. Bull motherfucking shit. You can make up whatever you want. If you put like 35 because your friend was 35, okay, that I might get. If he was born on the something 43, but you can't be born on 43 something because there ain't 43 days and no months. I mean, you could be 4 or 3, but then there would need to be a slash in between there. So if it was like April 3rd, but it's not. No, you're just freaking deflecting at this point, and I call straight up motherfucking bullshit, and I don't give a fuck what you say, right? Well, apparently, before tangling with the protesters, Fisher was ecstatic when he ran into Paul Griffin, an acquaintance and fellow Trump supporter. Whoever this dude is. But Fisher bro-hugged Griffin and appeared elated that his friend had decided to wear a Fuck Islam t-shirt to the Trump event, because that's just a way to fucking sow peace and brotherhood. Griffin was escorted from the rally after refusing security's request to turn his shirt inside out. Fisher proudly showed Griffin his Make America Great campaign sign, noting that I got fucking Donald's autograph. Oh, that's something to really be fucking proud of. Though Fisher has made his Instagram account private, his Facebook page remains online. However, he made a couple of revisions in the last several hours. After posting Rosenwald's video of him screaming, Fisher deleted the clip. He also removed a post defending his actions, where he said, all caps, Kanye style, why are you appropriating Kanye's way of going about this when you're just all about honky America? Like, why are you going with the all caps Kanye style when apparently you only like white people? I don't understand here, Mr. Zach Fisher. He says, all caps, do not bring your Mexican flags to American rallies when there is not a single Mexican running for president. This is America here, all caps, not Mexico. If you're not proud, all caps, of this flag, go, all caps, back to Mexico, all caps. So that's what he's like saying here. It's like nobody can like have any sort of a heritage that they're somewhat proud of, or whatever. And like maybe sort of like have a little bit of love and respect for both. That's not something that he could ever wrap his brain around. But apparently, court records show that Fisher's rap sheet includes a 2004 marijuana possession charge, which he was dismissed because he did the drug diversion program. But back in 2004, he was not quite the frickin' steroid-addled, according to his mugshot here on the smoking gun. This is taken before he got into the tattoos and all of that. They're saying creatine shakes. I say fucking steroids, because I guarantee you he is fucking full of the steroids, human growth hormone, whatever. So there you go, people. Be glad your name is not Zachary Mother Trucking Fisher, some bitch ass honky bitch from freaking Arizona who really should just keep his fucking mouth shut. I just truly and truly cannot. All right, let's see if there's one more thing. We got a couple of few minutes left here on the Hollywood Hick. See if we can find somebody to make us feel better about ourselves. You know what? I was going to talk about this one story that was over on Gawker, but it's going to take me too long. I ain't got but a couple of minutes left because I might have gone on too long talking about Fist Brown. What? Okay, I have to click on this, y'all. Mother truckers, there's just no way I can't click on this because it's just, this is, what? Sometimes I just try to figure out what the fuck is wrong with people. But according here to the Smoking Gun people again, this was over on their most popular thing on the side. But it says here, man plopped his private on market scanner. Right. So apparently a Seattle man is facing an indecent exposure charge after allegedly walking into a grocery store and plopping his genitals atop the scanner at a self-checkout station. Like, what? I don't even understand what would make you want to do that. Like, you ain't got no barcode on your pecker. So what? It ain't going to do nothing. But according to cops, Christian Fisher, 31, entered the Quality Food Center market around 5 p.m. Wednesday and proceeded to a self-checkout scanner. He then summoned over a female employee. When the woman approached Fisher's cops, Fisher, cops noted she saw that his penis was out on the stand. The employee said she reacted with surprise, which caused Fisher to laugh. A male employee said that when he saw his female coworker reacting to something on the checkout stand, he walked over to see what the issue was. The issue, he told police, was Fisher's pecker, which was resting on top of the scanner. The suspect, the report notes, was laughing and did not make any attempts to stow away his blatantly exposed genitalia. Yeah, so that's what happened there. So apparently Fisher fled the business before cops arrived, but oh my God, why do people do this shit? This is what kills me. But he returned to the market several hours later and was confronted by workers who recognized him from the early incidents. Cops say he ignored the demands that he leave the store, and he got into a shoving match with security, and they escorted him from the premises. Police subsequently collared Fisher about a block from the store, and pretty much the rest is history. And they apparently he became agitated and yelled, "I didn't whip my cock out," but you got four people that are saying they saw your cock out, dumbass. So yeah, right here at the end of the Hollywood Hick program today, be glad your name is not Christian Fisher, 31, of somewhere in Seattle, who felt it necessary to pull his pecker out and plop it onto the scanner at the self-checkout at the freaking grocery store, okay? And that does it for me, Mother Truckers. Thanks for tuning in. Sorry I've been slow, lady. I'm going to try to fix that. And, I'm out of time. I got to get out of here. Bye, Felicia. Doodle-lamb, doodle-lamb, do, Mother Truckers. Bye-bye. Boo-lamb, 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 boo-lamb